I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this
is the Eshcast.
This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 469. Panda once considered rage quitting Viva Pinata. This is Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I am Pandalicious.
Welcome to a brand new episode of our weekly podcast, Panda.
Hi, everybody.
How you doing?
I'm fan-fucking-tastic.
I know you are. You want to know how I know you are?
Because I'm fabulous.
Well, bitch, you are fabulous, but...
And because I'm actually here?
Because you're physically in the space with me, so I can actually confirm with my senses that you are, in fact,
real.
Awesome. I was gonna say real, because, I mean...
I am real.
Sometimes you're fake.
I'm real.
Mostly.
If you pinch me, do I not cry and squeal awkwardly?
No, if I pinch you, you usually go, what the fuck, and hit me.
Yeah, that's actually kind of more accurate.
So...
You are correct in that. You are right.
That's, you know, a fib.
Okay.
And that doesn't really define you being real. That just defines you as being a jerk.
But if you pinch me, and it travels through me that it hurts, and I say, what the fuck, and hit you in response, and you feel a hit, doesn't that...
But see, now you're interpreting whether or not I feel the hit. You don't know my experience.
Maybe you're not real.
Maybe I'm not.
Shit just got meta. Shit just got real.
Maybe none of us are real.
Well, maybe all of us are really real.
Maybe all of us are just an imagination in some kid's head. Maybe we're all St. Elf's wearing this shit right now, and we just don't know it.
Maybe we're all too legit to quit.
It's a possibility. I mean, I know I'm too legit to quit.
But anyway.
That's why I'm still here. So enough about that tangent. We haven't even gotten into the show. We're just like,
this happens all the time. It's reality.
You gotta roll with it, baby.
Well, I mean, the fact that you're like drinking a giant bottle of pitch lambic during the show.
Here's what had happened. What had happened was I started on the big bottle because I found a place that sells the big bottle of the pitch. You can't find a big bottle of the Pesh everywhere.
I know, it's true.
So I found the big bottle of the Pesh while I was out shopping. So I bought a few big bottles of the Pesh. Now, here's the thing, guys. Number one, I'm over 21, so I can drink. Number two, I'm the only person in my household who drinks because the spousal unit does not partake of the libations, which is cool. That's more for me. But number three, that means there's more for me. Now, I have fancy glasses. If you were here yesterday with me, Panda, you would have seen me drinking my Pesh and my Hypnos out of my beautiful brandy snifters, making adult drinks and being all adult, walking around with my brandy snifter, all fancy like, you know, pinkies out and shit, because I'm a lady.
Yeah, because you're classy.
But that was yesterday, and I used all my snifters.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay, now...
Why don't you just use the same snifter?
Here's the thing. I like using a fresh snifter because I like to chill them before I put my drink in them.
Okay.
So I would have had to wash the thing out, get it chilled, and then use it. And I knew you were coming over. We were doing this podcast. I'm like, hey, I'm the only one drinking the Pesci, so you know what?
Okay.
We're going to take it to the head.
All right.
So, drinking from the bottle. I pop the bottle, I'm drinking from the bottle.
Okay.
Okay? I'm not above drinking from a bottle. You can drink beer from a bottle.
You can.
So, I'm drinking beer from the bottle. It's just a little bit bigger bottle than you're used to seeing.
Yep.
It's the same thing.
You're right.
It's just like it's like a really big Heineken, but not a Heineken, because it's better.
Yeah, that's where I was going to go with that. So, I'm glad that you finished that.
Correct, because Pesh Lambic, man.
You're right. All right.
Duly so I'm noted. Just drinking it from the bottle. It's a beer in a bottle. It's a bottle of beer. It's just a big bottle
it's
of beer.
Several bottles.
No, it's not several bottles. The normal size bottle is only half of this.
So it's like two bottles.
Yeah. Ooh, I had two beers. Actually, I've currently only had one beer.
Ooh. Okay. I get it.
Whoa, a beer.
Calm, now I'm having calm a it down.
You calm it down. You're the one here judging me like I'm an alcoholic.
Aspersion.
I've had a beer. Don't cast aspersions on me.
Aspersions.
No, no. I
can't wait till we do video because then we can have people edit in the word aspersion as they shoot it at your face.
It's you cannot cast aspersions at me.
Casting aspersions.
I rebuke like, your aspersions.
There's a bar and it says casting aspersions.
I rebuke your aspersions. I rebuke them.
Anyway,
I rebuke them.
Neither here or there.
That's right. So, yes, I am drinking 2 beers during the course of this podcast.
Okay.
So, and it's really
everyone's
good.
Everyone heard that, right?
Yeah. It's the Lindeman's Peach Lambic. I love it. It's delicious. If you're over 21, you should try it because peach Belgian.
And if you're under 21, you need to wait until you turn 21.
Yep, yep. But it is a Belgian peach beer and it is absolutely delicious.
Okay.
It is so delicious that I actually got our aunt, who doesn't drink beer, to have some. And now it's her favorite freaking beer. And she makes me bring bottles whenever I go to her house.
Thumbs up.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you gotta do
something. Bringing families together.
You know, you gotta do a good, solid, you know,
yeah,
you deed gotta every once in a while. So I'm spreading the knowledge of peach Belgian beer.
Well, while you do that, why don't we spread some knowledge on our general topics of video games?
Which is not alcohol. That's a different podcast.
Yeah, that's a different show.
I haven't found a name for that podcast yet or a website, but when I do.
Oh, gosh.
I'm going after the sponsors. I'm starting with Bailey's.
At least
I got a goal, man. I'm starting with Bailey's.
Why don't you just start from the alphabet and start from A?
No, no, because that would mean I'd have to start with, like, absinthe, and I can't.
Bailey's, Ciroc.
No, no, you stop after the absinthe. After the absinthe, I'm done.
Di Serrano.
Don't even make it. I don't even make it to Bailey's after absinthe. Have you ever had absinthe?
Not real absinthe.
Okay, no, if you have
where you had to, like, put it over, like, a cube
of
sugar.
Yeah, no, I've had real absinthe, and let me tell you, after you've had real absinthe.
I heard it tastes like licorice. Like black licorice.
It kind of does. It depends on which one you get. But I was down in Savannah and in a bar that had it. An absolutely gorgeous distiller and everything and served the proper way. And let me tell you, it take like half of one. Now, you know I have a very nice tolerance.
I don't.
Okay. I had one whole absinthe drink. So two of the shots. And I had to take a cab home. The cab had to be called for me. Because I was not able to actually process the number pad on my iPhone.
So you were not cogent.
I was toe up from the flow up.
Got it.
So when you have real absinthe, you are toe up from the flow up. So if I was to do an alcohol podcast and go in the alphabetical order, I would have to skip absinthe in its entirety.
But you'd have to just have somebody on the show who can drink it while you talk about it.
There's no talking. There's no talking.
They drink it, you talk about it.
I hallucinate. I drink it.
No, oh, they drink it, you talk about it.
Where's the fun in that?
It keeps you from going toe up to the flow up.
Oh, no, I want to be toe up from the flow. If I'm going to get toe up, it should be from the flow up.
Well, then you drink something else.
Okay.
Then you do a combined A and B, and somebody drinks absinthe, and then you drink a beer.
Oh, maybe that's what we call the podcast, the A and B.
The AB?
Yeah, the A&B, like a break-in assault battery would be the A&B.
I don't think we should have our show be classified as assault and battery.
Well, depending upon what we're drinking.
Anyway,
that aside, let's talk about the stuff that we normally talk about
on
this podcast.
Let's do it.
Because this podcast is about games and anime and nerdy things in general.
So, hey, I know that right before we started this show, you really wanted to talk about Deadpool. So how about you do that?
Okay, I do want to talk about Deadpool for a couple of reasons. Are you familiar with the entire marketing plan for the Deadpool movie? Have you seen the trailer?
I saw the romantic rom-com-ish trailer for Deadpool.
Okay.
So that one I saw.
First of all, I have to say kudos to the marketing team behind Deadpool because they are doing this campaign so much justice and so much win. It is very much in the vein of the character, which is all over the place, which I love. If you're not familiar, Deadpool is a character, depending upon where you've picked up with the comics. He is a mercenary for hire, a project of a chemical text, the same Project X that gave Wolverine his adamantium skeleton. Deadpool was part of that entire research thing. But he was one of the experiments that was a failed experiment.
So Wolverine's considered a success.
A success, because the graft went well, he didn't die, and he didn't end up with any...
Side effects?
Any mental...
Dehingement?
Well, yeah. But any psychological impairments.
Okay.
Okay, or any physical ones that were not able to be controlled. Deadpool, however, was a failed experiment. So not only was he scarred by all the experimentation, but he also suffered a mental break. So Deadpool is actually kind of schizophrenic.
Kind of?
Yes. Now, depending upon where you're reading Deadpool, because he has had several arcs, and his backstory is very fuzzy, because depending upon where...
Is it kind of similar to the Joker, where like, when we talk about the Killing Joke or whatever, he never tells you the true origin of how he got his...
There's not anything is really known about Deadpool's childhood. Deadpool is basically made as a take off of Deathstroke.
I was about to say, I thought people were saying that he was pretty much, like, Marvel's...
You know, you had Slade Wilson, you have Wade...
Okay. I don't know.
His full name is Wade something. But it's a... Wade is a played off of Slade, and the last names are played off of each other as well. In all honesty, I wasn't a big Deadpool fan. I didn't read a lot of the books until I got older. And it's for the best, because I really wouldn't have appreciated the combination of violence and also wittiness, because the Deadpool comics were, I think, among the first where the character is directly talking to the audience. Like, in the comic books, Deadpool is aware that he is in a comic book, that he is a comic character. Breaks the fourth wall all the time. And so there are bubbles that you'll see in the comics where... And they're different in color, where he's having dialogue with you, the viewer of the comic, and then with himself about you, the viewer of the comic, viewing all the shit that's going on and how messed up it is. Which I always thought was a very clever thing to do. You know, most of the comics that you read, they're contained in this world, and you're kind of the omniscient third character looking in and
observing. With no power outside of observing.
Right. Observing the story. It's very rare that the story is directly speaking to you and in speaking to you in a very sarcastic, snarky kind of way, because Deadpool gives himself his name because basically after it's determined that he is a failed experiment, he's thrown into what is supposed to be another research lab, but really he's tortured. This entire group of failed experiment people are tortured by this doctor and his lackey. And because Deadpool regenerates, that's his power. He's damn near indestructible. And so they proceed
to... And they see that as a failure? Because he's nuts?
Because he's nuts. So he can't be reasoned with. He can't be rationalized with. Therefore, you
so
can't...
So he's dangerous.
So he's dangerous because you give him an assignment and he may not just kill the person you told him to kill or do the thing you told him to do. He's going to do his own thing and you can't really punish him because he can't...
Die,
really. And by that, I mean there are episodes where he's been decapitated and his head grows back. It takes time. It's not like an instant regeneration. Right. Like,
And does he still feel pain when he regenerates?
He does. He does.
So
he
feels all the pain. It's not a pleasure-free, it's not a pain-free regeneration.
Correct. You know, so, you know, unlike Wolverine, where his healing, you know, sometimes is a little slow depending upon the severity of it, it's nearly an instantaneous type heal. Like, the moment he's hurt, he starts the healing process. That doesn't happen for Deadpool. Like, there's a point where, like, Hulk literally bashes him into liquid bits. And he does eventually reform. I have always been of the mind that I think it takes a toll on Deadpool every time he has to do a massive reconstruction.
And maybe that has...
That contributes even more to his psychotic break. Okay, but on the whole, he is like a whacked out character and always is. And the marketing behind the movie is following that suit. So they did a whole like 12 days of Christmas type promotion where they released new content and it was basically recuts of the trailer or Ryan Reynolds doing a new intro to a different piece of the existing trailer. So they're not really giving away too much of the movie that they haven't already shown.
No, but I think it's a really good way of establishing our protagonist.
And each video's been completely different, and the tone was completely different, and it capped off with the recut of the trailer to be a romantic movie for Valentine's Day.
It's the most romantic movie you'll see this year.
And then it's so funny. The entire campaign is amazing, but they started to do a new run of billboard ads, and the billboard ads were...
Wasn't there one with emojis on it?
Yes, that's the one I'm talking about. Like, this is the one where I was like, I just want to, like, hardcore make out with this entire marketing team, because somebody threw this idea out and everybody went, brilliant, let's put money behind it and do it. So they did a billboard that was emojis primarily, announcing the movie coming out on February 13th. And it was the skull emoji, the smiling poop emoji, and an L. And they put it out on social. They didn't explain what that was. They just said, you know, the movie was coming on the 13th.
Deadpool.
Okay, now... It took a little while for people to get it, and people were guessing what the emoji combination was. And one of the ones that came out was Skull Poople.
Skull Poople.
The marketing team immediately created new billboards and put them out with Deadpool sitting on top of the word Skull Poople. Coming February 13th. So instead of, like, going against him, you're like, no, Nimrod,
Deathpool.
Deathpool. Not Skull Poople. Okay? And instead of being like, no, you're wrong. They meant,
no, that's going to be something Deadpool would run with.
It would. And they did. And they put it out. They made new billboards. They put it out on social. Like, Ryan Reynolds tweeted it out. Like, it. Everybody has embraced...
The
Skull Poople mentality. Which, for this kind of movie, you need to do.
You do.
And I love that the marketing team has put dollars behind it, that they're not running from it. You know, there's a kid who's tried to start a campaign to try and get them to come out with a PG-13 cut of the movie because he really wants to see it. And Deadpool, on Twitter, tweeted out, dear boy who really wants to see my movie, I'm sorry, but you can't. It's for big boys and girls. Now shut the fuck up.
Which is totally something he would do and say.
Yep.
Well, and tell your mom. Some fragment of his...
And then said something about your mom. And your mom be stupid to bring you to it or something like that. And in my head, I was hearing Ryan Reynolds say this. Like, it's only for big boys and girls. So shut the fuck up about your bitching.
You know,
and see my movie when you're grown up. You know, like, it was it's like the perfect response.
Can we talk about the fact that Ryan Reynolds was probably born and, like, in a test tube to do this? I never saw the Green Lantern movie.
I don't.
And everyone tells me that was probably one of the best choices outside of not seeing episodes 1, 2, and 3 of Star Wars.
Yeah.
They're like, those are the best
decisions that you've made
as far as not seeing movies.
Yeah.
Because everyone was like, you know, Green Lantern,
it was supposed to be something else, and they...
Turned it into... Yeah.
And Ryan did it because Deadpool was dragging along, because Deadpool was the movie that he wanted to do, because he was Deadpool in the Wolverine movie.
So it makes sense.
And they completely skimmed over that a lot. His setup there. And so that was supposed to be the setup for the Deadpool movie. But then everything dragged on. And Ryan needed to do movies.
Because he needs to make money and live.
You gotta live.
He's got to clap his hands to believe.
You know, it's better to be a superhero than none. And the Green Lantern is a hell of a superhero to want to be if you're presented it. Unfortunately, some choices were made in the execution that really
fubarred the movie. Which Green Lantern story do you think would have done better than...
I think you can do Hal Jordan. You just have to have the right person. Like, in my mind, when you're doing Hal Jordan, Hal Jordan's not young. Hal Jordan is middle-aged. He's older.
Nick
He's
Offerman.
Got some win-
younger than Nick Offerman?
Yeah.
John Hamm?
Maybe Ham.
Like a little scruffier Ham?
Not scruffy, because he's an Air Force pilot, so he can't be scruffy.
Okay, okay.
But, you know, maybe if you took Channing Tatum and added 10 years, so a little younger than Ham.
Maybe Alcide Clean?
Maybe Vic Clean. Vic could do it. Because Hal needs to be a little big.
Well, if he was in the air.
Maybe Chris Hemsworth, if he wasn't Thor. Clean.
Okay.
Okay. Because he needs to be a little bit big. You need to believe believe that, you know, he's a pilot. He knows he's the shit. He's a little, you know, tongue-in-cheek. I think that Nathan Fillion voicing him in the animated movies makes sense. Perfect. It's on point because it's the right balance of...
But Fillion has not... is older.
Right. You know, so probably Chris... Plus a couple of years clean, not Thor. But we've already established in
him as Thor, and it'd be kind of hard to re-envision.
So I understood why Ryan did it, because if you're presented the opportunity to be Green Lantern, you don't say no. But the execution of the movie sucked. And again, it was the thing that he did because he wanted to be an action hero movie, and Deadpool seemed to not be going anywhere, because that's what he had his heart set on. And so that's
pretty
why,
much made for this movie.
And that's why they leaked out that test footage, and after that ran through the internet like hotcakes, that's when the Deadpool movie got greenlit. Because again, Deadpool, it's not necessarily an easy movie to pitch, right? You know, you can make the case for Superman because he's the hero. He's a good guy. He's ultimately the good guy. Even when he has his like little off day, he still ends up coming back and being the good guy. So you can root for him.
Right.
So you can pitch that because it's a feel-good story. Even with Batman, you can, depending upon you can get behind
his motivations for the actions.
Because while he is a vigilante, he is a vigilante that is ultimately
skewing on the good side of vigilanteism and not the renegade.
You can easily
side.
Make the case for Avengers because they're trying to protect the world. They're good guys. Even in Civil War, what the war is about freedoms and lack of freedoms. And so they're fighting amongst themselves for freedom.
The weird memes between, like, Tony Stark and Captain America, and it'd be like, Pokemon was the best video game ever. Final Fantasy was the best...
Civil War.
Yeah. That'd be a good fight, actually, to have a war about, but that's beside the point.
Yeah, I saw one that was like, Pikachu is the best starter Pokemon, and then, like, there was one that was like, I'd rather have an Eevee. Boom, Civil War.
You never get an Eevee as a start.
I know. I'm just saying. I saw that one. I saw one
you
that
fucking
had...
You play Eevee.
Yeah, I saw one that was like, Goku versus Vegeta in Civil War. It was most powerful Saiyan. There's quite a few that I've seen. But Deadpool is a harder sell because he's not a hero. He's not a good guy. He's schizophrenic. He enjoys fucking killing people.
I think he kind of reminds me...
And he's pansexual, which really makes a lot of people uncomfortable.
Well, because
like if you read the comics,
understand.
At one point he does bone death.
From Sandman?
No.
So who?
Lady Death. There's a character of death.
Oh. Is she from the heavy metal? That lady?
Mm-mm.
Okay, because a Lady Death, too.
But literally...
Okay, Bang's death.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think married her? Or... Yeah, I think he married.
I mean, kill, marry, and fuck, you can kind of do all three with Lady
Pretty
death.
Much.
So then you only have to do one person. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. I think, when I think about Deadpool and, like, how he goes about, or at least from the snippets of his character that I've seen through, you know, marketing and stuff like that, that... When I envision him, I also kind of feel like him and Rorschach from Watchmen are kind of in the same vein.
With one exception. Rorschach is very contained.
Okay.
Rorschach is very thoughtful, pensive. He is concerned and is schizophrenic. And it's paranoia that's mostly driving that.
Okay.
But Rorschach is contained. He acts when he has enough things to act on. Doesn't just go out of nowhere on stuff. Okay. Even though some of his ideas are really, really out there as far as conspiracy theories, it's always a methodical approach to the crazy. Deadpool is not
it's
methodical.
It's just flat out crazy.
He's just flat out, like, because, again, between the experiments and then also there's a certain kind of crazy that would come along with understanding that you are, in essence, immortal. No joke. Deadpool in the comics had his heart ripped out. It grew back. He came back to life. He was decapitated. Came back to life.
Right.
The Hulk literally smashed him into liquid goo. He reformed. So there's got to be some kind of crazy that comes along with understanding that you cannot end. That nothing can end you.
Right.
There's both a very freeing power, but it also has to be a very scary thing. Because now everything that you know... will die before you. You know that.
Right.
So there's no
How
lasting
relationship.
How does
someone not go mad knowing that there's no end to them.
Right.
That everything perpetually, like, they're just a hamster in, they're a forever living hamster in a wheel that will never stop.
Okay. Like, you can strap dynamite to my neck and blow my head off.
And like,
I'll be back in a week. There's got to be a maddening thing about that, which is why I think that that contributes to.
So he's just all these stressors that just compound onto his already
which then leaves you with there's no consequence.
So I can do whatever the fuck I want.
And that's Deadpool. Because there's no consequence. Okay? I can fuck your girl. Because even if you shoot me in the balls,
which you can, go right ahead.
It's going to grow back.
It might even come back bigger. I mean, I don't know.
Don't even know.
Don't know.
But it's coming back.
And then I'll fuck her again.
I'm not going to die. You know? So, and that's, I think, you know, a big part of the mentality behind Deadpool. Which is why I'm very interested to see this movie. Because it seems like...
Do you think that they're going to give... I mean, I'm glad that they're
putting it's straight so much up rated R. They have not.
But there are so many things.
And you know there's going to be an unrated cut of this movie.
There's going to have to be. Because I feel like, obviously, to do this character justice for what the fan base has known to happen, I don't think they could get away with half of it in an R-rated movie.
No. So there's going to be an unrated cut that comes to digital, and I can't wait for that to happen. But I will be seeing this movie in the theater. The marketing team has done a great job marketing the movie and making it clear to people who are familiar with Deadpool that this is going to be a Deadpool experience that you will love. It is your Deadpool. It is not...
It's not Hollywood's Deadpool.
It's not Disney's
there's
Deadpool.
There's no love interest. Fuck that shit.
There's... It's like...
Literally bend it over and fuck it up its butthole.
Basically, yeah. So that.
And we're going to film it in 4D so you can get all that realness.
So I'm very, very excited for the movie coming out. And like I said, I want to deeply make out with the marketing team because they've just done a phenomenal job.
Just deeply make
like,
out.
Like, I want to make intense eye contact.
I want to impregnate them.
I don't want to impregnate them because that would require a gender swap on my account. And
no,
I don't think
like, you're so into them that, like, your pheromones just send off.
Dude, if
sperm.
I could do that, I need to be put on an island by myself because I'll just be impregnating people just
like,
by
you
my
pregnant,
sheer pregnancy.
You pregnant? You pregnant? Like, you're
okay.
Not pregnant. You're
sorry,
pregnant.
Sorry. Don't stand near me because if you get too close, you're going
to
get pregnant.
Don't stand so close to me. You'll get pregnant.
You're going
to
get pregnant. Boom. I'm sorry. It's already happened. You're pregnant.
You're pregnant. With my. I'm sorry.
And that's
not
when
sorry.
People put me in the home and I start talking about Deadpool and they're like, woohoo, woohoo, until, you know, all my spirit babies start popping out.
Of people.
And they're like, I didn't have sex with anyone. Well, there's a little black baby that just popped out of you, so you got some slaying to do, Lucy. And I'm just sitting in my corner, like, told you.
It's like, told you, I could impregnate you.
I
just
made you pregnant.
Being
so
near me.
You're pregnant. What do you want me to do? Better give the baby a good name. No ghetto names. That's my rule. No ghetto names.
No ghetto names?
Yeah, no ghetto names.
So no Nyquila?
I don't want my kids named after cars.
Porsche.
Lexus, Mercedes.
Maserati.
Sonata.
Beamer.
No.
Bentley?
No. What did I just say? I don't want none of my kids named after cars.
Volkswagen?
No.
Volts for sure?
No.
Wagen?
No. What part of no?
Saber?
Are you having a problem with the N or the O part?
How about
or the combination together? No.
It sounds
just,
French.
Just no. No.
Ford.
No.
Ford Fiesta.
No.
Ford Fusion.
No. No Escape either. No.
Ah, oh, it's no. Going there.
I know you were, but no.
There.
So, yeah, that's my
Ford
Deadpool
Focus?
Thing. I'm going to poke you. Although that is one of my favorite memes on the web right now with the pictures of Harrison Ford.
Yep.
In the various states where, like, he's focused reading something. It's like, Ford Focus. And then there's a photo
Ford
of him,
Fiesta!
Like, where he's got, like, two bottles of vodka that he's pouring and they're like, Ford Fiesta. And then it was like, what was the other one?
I think one, he was being escorted off, and that's when the escort came. Like, he
yeah.
had, like, a
yeah.
bodyguard or something
yeah,
with him.
Yeah, Ford Escort. And then there's a Ford Escape where he's, like, leaving, I think it's a Star Wars reference, but... Like, I look at all of them, I'm like, oh, that's a good one. I wish I came up with that, but I didn't. All right, so, that's Deadpool. We talked a little bit of comic movie.
Yep.
Now let's talk a little bit of game.
Okay.
Let's talk a little bit of game.
Okay.
So, yeah, I had already talked about my going back on my resolution just a little bit in that I was not able to play Forza, which is a racing game, which is outside of my wheelhouse of games that I play. But instead, I played a Steam game, so I played a computer game. Yep. Through completion. Frambeau, which I talked about last week. Continuing on that, I was like, well, you know, one of the things that I haven't done yet is really play any of the backwards compatible games on either my Xbox or my PlayStation. And I really had been not playing a whole lot of things on my Xbox for quite a while due to addiction with a game.
Destiny.
That shall not be named.
Destiny.
So I thought, you know, let me
name her Destiny.
Let me take a look at
Crystal.
No, I can't afford Crystal.
Destiny Crystal.
Oh, no, no. No, Destiny Black and White.
Destiny Dom Perignon.
Destiny Dom P.
Dom Perignon Destiny. Moe Shandon.
Moe Shambon. I thought, you know, let me take a look at the backwards compatibility list of games on the Xbox for a couple of reasons. One, I was looking to not have to fork out a chunk of money.
Okay.
Which, to play backwards compatible games on the PlayStation.
Backwards compatibility.
You have to buy the game or rent the game, you know, from the PlayStation.
You have to have the disc in the game.
So
you have to have the disc to play the game backwards. Well, backwards game.
No, no, you just have to fork over cash to get the game
cha-ching!
Again.
But so, why do that if you own it?
That's Microsoft's point. to which Sony has been trying to work out a solution.
It's like, if you bought it and you have the disc and it's no broken, you shouldn't have to buy it again.
This is the thinkings of many people.
It's like, that makes more sense.
That's why a lot of people are not taking advantage of the PlayStation offering for backwards compatibility. Anyway, I'm here to talk about my experience with Xbox backwards compatibility. Okay. Because I hadn't really explored it at all.
You don't want to...
I know. I kind of muffled it. Yeah. But we'll say the X system. So, I took a look at the list of games because the list of games continues to grow. People can actually upvote or make recommendations on games that they'd like to see added to the list. And Microsoft is doing, I think, a good job.
Didn't they roll up for a chunk and they do them in stages?
They do them in stages. Mm-hmm. Because what they are doing is basically creating a port of the game that works on the current system. And the checksum is for you to put your disc in to prove that you own the game, and then it just starts downloading. And that's the experience. So you can check and see what games are compatible. And the way that it works, it's very straightforward, is you turn on your system. You put that game into your system, it checks the disc and goes, oh, hey, what it will tell you is something similar to my experience. There's an update available for your game. And that update is actually your game that it downloads. So I pop my disc in. The game that I selected from the list was Viva Pinata.
The first one, not Trouble in Paradise?
Not Trouble in Paradise, the first one, the original one, because it was actually the first game that I played on my first X system.
Oh.
And I got it as a review unit, so it's meaningful in a lot of ways. If you actually look up on my mantle on the top right, I actually still have the entire PR kit that they sent when they sent me the game to review. And this was from the Gamerscore blog people back when Microsoft did that. That is an actual Horstachio pinata in that pinata crate.
Can I have it?
No, you can't. But I have, and I never broke him.
Can I have it?
No. So I have a Horstachio. No! I have a Horstachio up there in the original letter explaining, like, how to do the review. And it still has all the crinkle paper that's, like, the colors of the pinatas.
Yep. Mm.
And so I took the game out and I went, you know what? I think that it's only fair that I start my backwards compatibility test with the first game that I played on the 360. So I misspoke. It wasn't my first system. It was my second X system. Because it was a 360 game. But it was the first one that I played on that system. So, popped it in, and immediately my system said, hey, there's an update that we need for your game. And I thought, oh, there's an update. Then it told me that there was a 5.5 gig download update. And that's when I realized, oh, it's not an update. They're getting the game. Okay, well, this is going to take a minute, so I'm going to go and watch some Hulu.
While you wait.
While I wait. My connection's pretty good. Only took, like, about a half hour and some change for it to download everything. But I was watching Hulu, so I eventually came back to it. But as soon as I went back to my system, right there on my dash and my list of recent games was the game. I didn't need the disc in the system, so turned on the game. And man, oh man, it was Viva Pinata. the way that I remembered it, playing on the 360. It looked like it had been scaled a little bit.
Okay.
So it wasn't stretched in that it got pixely, because, you know, the characters in Viva Pinata, they're all pinatas. So their texture is fluttery like paper mache.
Right.
So they're not meant to be super, super detailed to begin with. But it did seem like there was some pixel resolution change, because it looked sharper and crisper.
Okay.
But it played exactly as I remembered it playing when I first played it. And I was real into my first garden.
Oh, man. I'm glad we're bringing this shit out.
And I really, like, in my heart of hearts, because it was on my 360, so I know that I had saved my games, a chunk of them, to the cloud before getting my new X system so I could bring them down. I evidently did not keep my pinata save, or wasn't able to access it and bring it back down. So I had to start a new garden. But my hope of hopes, I was really, really holding out hope that I was going to turn on my garden and, like, all my helpers would be like, look at all this stuff that we've saved for you. You got bank. But no, I had to start a new garden from scratch. So I'm currently working a new garden in Viva Pinata.
So, I mean, I feel like our conversation is going to be a little different, because I never played the first one. I came into Viva Pinata with Trouble in Paradise.
Oh, so you didn't play the first one.
I did not play the first one. Because I think at the time when I got my X System Arcade that you so generously gave me.
Yeah. I'm like that sometimes.
I think one of the first games I picked out with the help of Eshmom was Viva Pinata, because it looked cute.
Mm-hmm. And it is.
And it is. And I mean, I was very, very obsessed with my garden too. But as obviously more games come out and stuff, you stop playing stuff for other things. And I'm just talking in the general of 360 games in total.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. So, but I got to relive that when the Rare Replay came out fairly recently.
Oh, yeah.
Because Rare released their games, and both Viva Pinata and Trouble with Paradise are among the collection in that. So the minute the pre-marriaged man of my life...
Your pre-ancé.
My pre-ancé, he got the Rare Replay, and literally that next Saturday morning, I was up at 5 a.m. because I'm like, oh, I'm playing Viva Pinata. It's done. Like, I'm getting back into
the swing. So you got up at 5 in the morning and jump into Viva Pinata and Rare Replay. That's awesome.
And by 10 o'clock that morning, so 5 hours of continuous play. At that point, I had 4 different gardens. I had my general play through the story mode of it before you got to the point where you're, like, the best gardener on the fucking universe.
Right.
So I had that one. I had a garden where literally it was pretty much my pound town, and I call it that because, so if you've ever played the game, you are a bodiless gardener, like you're pretty much evident by a shovel and or water.
Right, it's first person.
And the whole thing is that you've come to this place and you're kind of new and you're a gardener and people want to help you make the best garden ever. And, like, there's a sage gardener who's in a wheelchair who, after so many, every level or so, will come down and be like, here's this upgrade. I can make your land bigger. Here are these things that you can do, until you surpass him.
Because gardens are needed in order for pinatas to have a safe area to live in.
Because they're being hunted.
Yes.
And they're being ruined by Professor Pester.
Yes.
And, like, his minions. And they're all dicks. All of them dicks.
Yes.
And they will come and fuck your shit up.
They'll make your pinatas sick. They'll eat your pinatas. They'll break your pinatas.
Yep. And, yeah, and then there are sour mellows and sour pinatas who can come and can fuck your shit up, and you have to make them unsour.
Yeah, sherbats and sour snails and...
Yeah.
What are the crow things called?
Oh, God, I don't
know. Crobats?
I think so, but then when you make them unsour, then they revert to their actual forms and stuff. But that's neither here or there. But, so... Among, you know, growing flowers and harvesting and making money and then, like, making homes for
you gotta pinatas. Make pinatas.
You have to make pinatas. And that's, like,
you breeding. Gotta make them dance.
You gotta romance. It's romancing is what it's called in the system.
It's dancing, okay? They do
it's
the
a
mate
dance.
And dance.
And they only do the mate and dance the first time. After that, you don't see the mate dance.
Well, you can see the mate and dance, but here's the thing. So in order to get pinatas to do the mate and dance, you have to check out their information to see what their requisites in order to be in the mood for romance.
You gotta turn on. You gotta turn on some worms.
Yeah, well, and that's where you start. You start with the worms, turn it on.
Well, they're pretty easy.
They just need grass. And they're like, yeah, let's do this. But then different animals have different requisites of what you need to do before they're ready to romance. Once they're ready to romance, you basically go into a mini game where you go through a puzzle to collect coins and you have to get one.
I guess technically we're talking a little out of sync. So you have to have a wild pinata of that type visit your garden. Then it will tell you what requisites you need to have it be a resident. And you can't romance them until they are residents in your garden. Then you get the requisites for getting busy.
Then you go through the maze.
And you get busy.
To get one to the other and you collect coins, which you want to collect as many coins as you can before the timer runs out without hitting any of the bomb edges, because that blows up your poor pinata's life.
Yeah.
If you can get some coins, which you can use in the stores to buy things, and get your pinata to another pinata, they will do the mating dance. The first time they do the mating dance, you are forced to watch it.
Yep. They make you watch it.
And
watch them do them.
What's really cute, because this is a game for kids, is that the mating dance is a cute dance.
It's literally a dance, like a samba or a tango or a cha-cha-cha.
Or a break dance. They dance at each other.
Yep.
Okay. And then after they dance, everybody comes out of the house, all excited, waiting for their egg to come with your new...
store ghost will show up with an egg.
And then you wait for
the egg to hatch, and then you have another pinata.
And you have another pinata. If you romance them again another time, if you want to see the dance, you have to follow them into the house and look at the house.
Okay.
And if there are pinatas that are romancing in the house at that time, you will see the dance again. So you would basically have to stalk them to watch them
a second time.
Kind of a little bit pervy if you're like, let me watch romance. Right.
So, but anyway, so in my garden, that is literally my lady
Pound Town.
What I did is, so with every big group that I made in my major game, I then packaged them up, because that's how you can transport them from garden to garden, is you can put them in a crate and put them in your mailbox and your...
I have never had multiple gardens going on at the same time. Oh, I didn't even know you could do that.
You can. And you could...
I was unawares.
You could ship pretty much all of them. You could ship almost all the pinatas to any other garden except for the Dragonhatch, which is like, there's one per game. So you can't have three of them. There's only one. But that's later on in the game. But I would send two of pretty much like the Ark. I would send two of each of my animals to my Pound Town garden, where literally, if I brought over Mouse Mellows that day, I'd have them become residents in my garden, I'd make their house, and then I would just make them bone. And you have to, I think, to get the master romancer, you have to have at least 8 to 10 of them currently on in your...
But that's a brilliant idea, because you could have a small garden that you don't really make much, much bigger, that you can put a fence around, and then just keep...
Yep,
those
pinatas. And that's exactly what I did.
In there so that no other pinatas can get to them.
Well, here's the thing. So that only really works for your ground pinatas, because if you've got ones that fly, they can just get out. But worms can't, like the bunnies can't. But
I'm mostly just thinking of how I can keep the fucking snakes from eating my mice.
So so the mice are big enough that a fence would work. The snakes could probably roll out of it. But anyway, that's what I did. So I'd bring two over, make them residents, put a fence around, buy their house, and then make sure, like, some of them want turnips around, so you have to have turnip, you know, give them and then they just bone until I have 10 of them. And then I sell 8 of them, and I put the other 2 back on my main game garden.
Oh, that's just brilliant.
So then I can bring the next ones over, and then they have their space to bone.
And then once you've boned one set, all you need is the romance candy, which is cheap. You can just feed them the romance candy so you don't have to keep making up all their, you know, requirements. Because as you get more and more animals, they go from having one requirement to like four before their romance.
Yeah.
And those get to be expensive, like buying milk.
And then
milk is expensive, yo!
You can have the tinker make it for you.
No.
So that's what I was doing in that one. So I had my regular game, I had my Pound Town, and then I had my growery, my shrubbery. Nursery is what I called
it. Your grove.
So literally what I did in that one is, because depending on the size of your main garden, that's how big all your future gardens are in Trouble in Paradise. So if you have the full garden in your game, when you go to make a new one, it's that big to start, which is awesome. So I literally sectioned it off, and I had one area that had all my trees in it. because all the trees grow at different rates and stuff like that. And I had my helpers coming to harvest all those when they fell and selling those. I had my little flower garden where I put all my flowers. So, like, they never mixed. And then I had a water section because there are certain flowers and stuff that only grow near water.
Like watercress
and stuff.
So you have that.
And then I had my vegetable garden. And I had, like, I had three helpers. I had three waterers. And they harvest and picked. And all I had to do was replant. That's all I had to do. So I would set that up and, like, leave that garden, go to Pound Town for a while, come back, reap that, and make bank.
And does your bank follow you from garden to garden? Or is it individual banks in individual gardens?
No, it's the same bank, so that money followed.
Oh!
Yeah, I don't know if that's the same for...
Oh, God, I hope it's the same. It's probably not.
So, and then on... I think in the same shrubbery one, I got my mine, and that's when you have to get a digger who goes in and harvests your mine, and that's how you get your dragon hatch, because it's a legendary egg, piñata, and you can't make them. They're that rare, and you have to do so many things to get this to hatch. It's unbreakable, so you can't kill them once the eggs are out, like, because some piñatas will fuck your shit and try to break other piñatas' eggs.
Yeah. Yeah, they will.
They will.
They're douches like that.
But that egg can't be broken, and, like, Professor Pester can't break it, which is also good. But you have to do all these things. Like, you have to set it on fire at one point, and then you have to get a chicken, a cluckaroo, whatever it's called, to, like, sit on it to hatch it. And there's all these shit you have to do. And this is a cute little, and they call it a dragon hatch, and it's supposed to look like a dragon, but it kind of reminds me of, like, a chimera. Because it kind of had, like, a lion face and, like, a dragon tail with some wings. And, like, kind of salamandery, too, for a bit. But then it exponentially grows bigger the more you do with it. But you can only have one of those on each garden. So you can't just have four gardens and put them all on one space. It doesn't work that way. Yeah, in terms of milk, going back to that, all you need to do for that is you have to get cheese. You get cheese. And you put the cheese out. And then you get the tinkerer to come down. Bart the Tinkerer, and you have him tinker, and there are three levels. There's a bronze, a silver, and a gold. Mm-hmm. And gold, you always get what you're trying to tinker. Generally, I've never, in my encounter, he's never failed at bronze, which is the cheapest tinkering you can do, because it's a simple enough thing. I have him tinker the cheese, and then I get milk, and then you can leave the milk out with some mouse mellows, and then get the kitty to show up, because that was the bitch for me, was getting that fucking cat. Because it's like, you need to have six mouse mellows, and I'd have six, and then Pester would show up and kill one. And I'm like, I just birthed him. WTF. And then, like, the mouse mellows have to be out at night, and the milk has to be out, because then the kitty paws, she comes with her cunt face, meow, 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 meow. She comes out, and, like, she has to walk through your garden, you're like, okay, and then she has to drink the milk, and then, like, I kept, like, dropping it right in front of where I thought she was going to walk. And the bitch would be like, no, not today. And I was like, fuck you. Because I wanted the dog. And the dog doesn't come out until you have three of the kitties in your garden. And I was like, my fiance can tell you, because there was literally one day I wanted to throw stuff at my screen. Because I'm like, and apparently in the first game, because there were domestic piñatas that you could buy.
Mm-hmm.
From Polly Pets or whatever her name is. But in Trouble in Paradise, you can't buy domestics anymore. They show up in nature.
Oh, so, yeah, that
and
sucks.
And I was like, I just want the dog. I just want the dog. And the fucking cat will not do what just like a true cat.
Yeah.
Fuck you. It'll do what it wants. And then I finally got them. And then I sold them all because I was bitter. Because once you have lured a piñata to be a resident, you can then get the hunter lady to go hunt one for you in the wild. So you don't have to be that bad. You don't have to do all that to keep luring them, because after you've had one, you can have her go and get you one. So I'm like, fuck you, cat. Fuck you, kitty paws. Whatever the fuck you're called. I hate you.
I hate you in your stupid face.
But granted, so far I think in all my games, because like, I haven't gotten any of the piñatas that are in the winter... area yet, because there are different piñatas for different regions and stuff, but I pretty much have all of the main areas except for the elephant, because I have to do something where I have to get something to break so that it can come down and be like, and I don't have the lion, because you have to have the biggest garden, which I do. You have to have so much money. I think it's like 500. I think it's like 5 million. And I'm at like 3.
God dang!
And like, and that's
I'm
just,
only at 9,000.
And he just, and
but I just started my garden.
But you have to have that much money, and your garden has to be worth a certain amount too. So you have to have so much going on in it. And like, he prowls around the outside, and I'm like, I'm just waiting for you to walk through here. I'm just waiting for you so I can see what you need, and I will buy it. And I will put it here so that I can have
don't
a
don't you hate that? Like, that's the thing
they
that I hate
sit on that
being,
outside and I'm like, will you just walk in here?
When you're just close enough to meeting all the requirements, so you just see them on the prowl on the outside of your thing. And you're just like, is today the day you walk in? Is today the day? Do I have enough water? Do I finally have enough fucking fire ants?
I did that with the Nougat for the longest time because it was like, you need so much water.
Yes.
And I didn't realize how much. And I'm like, I have the lily pad. I have some water. What don't I have? And then wanted the water lily thing. And it was like, we need X amount of water. And I'm like, fuck. So I am my game garden is pure perfection. Like, I literally, in a notebook.
I mean, but just be humble about it. Did you sketch your garden out?
Yeah.
Yep. Oh my God.
In my original gameplay, I literally took a piece of paper and I'm like, all right, this is my space. And I'm like, and there are certain pinatas who, if they're around each other, they don't get along. Some are scared of other ones, so they'll just run away. But some of them will stand their ground and then they'll start to fight.
Yeah, and I move my ants away from my flies and they still fucking fight all the time.
Nope. You gotta take your water and you have to hose them down when they get
I've
mad.
I've tried, they don't.
You got choose
they keep
one.
Fighting.
You gotta choose one.
Okay.
And then you have to get your taffy fly.
Oh, I'm about to fucking get rid of tafflies.
No. Do you have any torches?
Yeah, I have torches.
Have you ever run your taffly through a torch?
No.
Because they become a different breed.
Are they angry?
No.
Okay.
They're just
because
on fire.
I learned accidentally that if you leave thistle seeds on the ground too long and your pinatas walk through them, they get pissy and they start fighting.
Yes. I hate all of the... Oh, God. So in my garden, my one that I collect...
Your game garden.
My shrubbery.
The grove.
The thing that really sucks about it is, you know, you do get some XP for the bad weeds. You do. And you have to discover them all, which means you have to let them grow. And I was doing my thing one day, and my gatherers had come and gathered, and I plotted seeds, and I guess I must have done something to Cetos, because Cetos, if you hit him, for one, he'll drop a whole bunch of seeds, but he'll also get mad. And
don't hit Cetos!
And I think in my game through, I tapped him once, and he was like, I'll show you, or he said something like that, and then he walked off. And I was like, he's not going to do anything, this is the first time I hit him. Well... Over in my shrubbery game, which I don't know if this is just coincidence or not, but after I had finished plotting, I saw him show up, and I was like, oh, well, he'll just leave something. Well, he left a Venus flytrap. So, literally, I go back maybe 20 minutes later, and half of my garden is completely eaten up by Venus flytraps that are just continuously growing, because that's what they do. So I'm sitting there, and I'm hitting them, and I've got my weeders coming in, and blow, but, like, there are so many. I'm like, my garden is ruined. Like, I can't fix this. I can't. And, like, and I'm crying, and I'm like, I can't hire more than 3 weeders, and I need, like, 8 weeders for, like, and I'm trying to, and finally, after, like, I want to say it ate up a whole day to clean it up. And I was like, fuck Cetos. Fuck the vine.
You hit him.
I did. But I wasn't thinking about my actions. I was just.
I accidentally hit Igor to get him off my land. I didn't realize I was supposed to just give him money.
Yeah, you're supposed to. Yeah.
So
yeah.
I've started giving him money now.
So, but yeah, that was a bitch. That was. So literally now, like, I scour for even a hint of one, and I'm like, nope, not today. And like,
not today.
Not today. And, but I absolutely love it. And, like, it is the most, it's so funny because I think in reality, if someone was like, hey, you want to go to a farm?
You'd be like, no.
Fuck no. No? You want me to hold a shovel? What? You want me to water shit? I don't even water myself.
You want me to put what shit on what?
It's like, no.
No.
I don't want to watch your worms do it.
No.
Like, I would, but you're like, oh, they're pinata. Oh, well, if they're pinatas, I will.
Completely different.
Oh, my God, yes.
Because that's how you get the party started.
And I mean, like, and here's the thing. So, like, the thing I never really understood about it was, you know, like, you want to get your pinatas to, like, their maximum, you know, candiosity. And then they're like, then you want to ship them off to parties. And, like, and I was doing that. And then one day I sent one and I'm sitting there thinking, I'm like, wait, I send these to parties and people hit them. And people break them.
And they don't come back.
Well, no. In Trouble in Paradise, they do come back.
Oh, see, in my game, when you ship them off, it was like, oh, and your thing has been returned, and what you get is a big candy.
Oh, nope.
That
nope.
You can give to everybody, and it makes everybody in your garden happy.
Nope. In Trouble in Paradise, you get them back. Because I'm imagining what happened is a bunch of people played that first one, and like me, had that moment of, oh my God, I raised these and love these, and then I send them to their death. For the sake of young kids and parties everywhere.
Parties are more fun when there's a piñata.
But they come back, which is nice. So I was like, oh, okay, good. But at the same time, like, if sometimes I'd forget. And, like, I'd be like, where'd this random piñata come from? But it's got the same name. And I'm really good about naming my piñatas.
Oh, I don't. I give up after the first two pairs of mating sets. Everybody then just becomes Worms 27, Worm 29.
All of my piñatas in my game world, because the ones in my other worlds, I did not name.
No, I named my first two mating sets, and that's
they're
it.
All na- and they're all named after friends.
No, mine are all playoffs on their names. So, like, my first Worms were Will, spelled W-H-I-L, and Wilhelmina.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Nope. All of my.
I had Spartan and Spartina.
For the experiments.
Yep. I had Taft and Taffy. That's my Taft flies. I had Moose for one of my mouse mellows. Right. And then the other one was.
I think I named mine
like chocolate
Mickey
mousse.
And Minnie. I think were my marshmallow.
I had a Newt Gat named just Newt Gingrich. And then I had a new one named Neutron.
Okay.
And they had a baby who was just named Net Neutral.
Oh.
Yeah, he got eaten by a fucking badger thing. I beat the shit out of the badger thing.
You know which one I tend to have, I think I had the most trouble keeping from other animals, was my fucking, the pretzels.
I don't have any pretzels in my, they're all like on
pretz
the outskirts.
Tail, I should say.
Yeah, the pretzels are skirting on the outskirts. So are
they
the
want
spiders.
Bunnies. They want bunnies.
Yeah, and so are the spiders. The spiders are on the outside of my garden.
The arachnid.
Yeah, the arachnids are like hovering on the outside. And the badger thingies keep coming in, badgerments. Keep coming in, eating my Newt Gats, not eating enough to be fucking
residents.
So that sucks. And then the arachnids, I don't have something that they want. I don't think I have enough land yet for them to come in.
And I can't
eat
remember
my ants.
Who it is, but there is one pinata that wants a sandwich.
I don't know this pinata.
Oh God! And like it took me forever because I'm like, because you can buy bread.
Yep.
And I'm like, all right, so I got the bread. I'm like. But, like, and the picture of the sandwich, it, like, has an olive. And I'm like, do I have to, like, how do I make? And it's like, oh, the Tinkerman will do it. And I'm like, so one day, I think in my pound town, because I was mating whichever pinata this is, and I can't remember. But I had, like, 8 loaves out. And I had the Tinker guy come and tinker all of them. And then when you get a sandwich, there's something else you can do where you can tinker a sandwich to do something else. I think make a sub or something. And I'm like, okay. Like, why can't I just make a sandwich? What? I can breed all this stuff and have a builder cut, but I can't make my own sandwich? Like,
I can make pinatas, but I can't make a sandwich?
Apparently not. But, I mean, it's still so much fun, and it's such a good time.
It really
is. And, like, you feel invested when you see these things, which clearly are not real animals, but you feel, I know I feel invested.
I get pissed every time something eats one of my pinatas.
I hate
a
when one gets sick. I call the doctor. The doctor doesn't show up in time. Or, this has happened to me plenty of times, I have two honey bunny combs, because it happens to be my bunnies more often than anything. There'll be a Venus flytrap somewhere that is just making other, and they eat them, and they get sick. And then I'm like, oh, they're sick. So I had the doctor come. And, like, it's the minute I see them, I put the marker on the doctor. And the doctor has to come all the way up from that fucking hill. Which I'm like, why can't I just make a hospital
on my... See, what I have done in order to help the doctor and fucking keep the pest dude from killing my sick guys, because the ones that I want to keep I immediately flag, is I have put fencing strategically up around the entire exterior of my border, and I've left two holes. One closest to the hill that the doctor comes up, that's just big enough for him to get through. And then on the areas where I couldn't put fencing, that's where I lined up some of my bigger houses. So they act as a stop gate to slow down anybody coming that way.
Okay.
So what ends up happening is up until I got the sure block, all my sure bats would always come through this one corner. So I would know, because they would get slowed down because they had to run by my tadpole's house. They would get slowed down on the outskirts, and I could just beat them while they were outside my actual garden. So use fencing strategically.
So, but God, I hated Dasteros, and he would show up. My fuck no.
Yeah, Dasteros has only killed one of my animals, and it's because I didn't hear that it was sick fast enough.
And then I purposely went and got that freaking shovel with his face on it, because granted, you can't kill him, but you can hit him and deter him. And, like, after a while, I would just keep hitting him until that freaking doctor would show up. And I was like, fucking go back to the desert. Don't you touch my shit. But that's neither here or there. But, I mean, if you have ever played the game and have the nostalgia for it, or you've got young kids who you don't want playing Farmville on Facebook.
Yeah, I would definitely say that Viva Pinata is a very fun game. It's a safe one for your kids. And it will teach them some economy stuff, because they will have to learn how to manage their money, manage their resources, manage their pinatas. And, you know, even when breaking a pinata, you know, a bad pinata, there's still...
But you can make bad pinatas good pinatas.
Nah, I just break them.
You can... But you have to if you want to... Just like in Pokemon, you want to catch them all, you have to turn sour ones into regular ones.
I don't know how
ones.
To turn sour ones into regular ones, so I just break them.
You have to find out what would make them a resident, and then you have to do those things.
I break them before they spew out bad candy and make my animals sick.
I understand that, but I'm just saying that.
I'm just like, fuck you.
Fuck you.
Don't come into my garden,
weren't always
bitch.
Bad. They weren't always bad.
Don't come into my garden. And I put up the blocks so they don't come as often.
But I love the game, and if you have young kids, like, it's a really good way of having fun but still promoting some educational value, mm-hmm. I think. And it's cheaper than getting a pet. A real one.
It is. And it's not as annoying as a Tamagotchi. So if you have the original game for the 360, then you can definitely take advantage of the backwards compatibility just by popping it into your current X system. Or you can pick up Rare Replay and play it that way if you don't have the original game for the new system. But I highly recommend it. It's been really fun to bounce back into it and just relive a little bit of my original 360 time. So there you have it. Recommending Viva Pinata. Now you, before we go, you said that you had been watching some anime.
I have been.
And it's
something that came out in the last season of anime, because I know that on Crunchyroll they've started rolling out the next season of anime for viewing.
Yep.
So I'm sure you're going to hear a lot from us on that front in the coming weeks.
Oh, yes.
But if you don't know about my personal life, outside of me getting engaged and stuff like that, my fiancé and I also recently adopted a dog.
Yep.
So we have Eshdog the third.
Yeah.
Currently, Ebby. And Eshdog the fourth is here with Nugget.
Wait,
and
that's the third? I thought she was the third.
No, I thought Ebby was, because Missy was the first. Oh, so then, okay, I've got another one. So Missy was Eshdog the first. Ebby was Eshdog the second.
Yeah, Nugget's Eshdog the third.
And now we have an Eshdog the fourth.
Yes.
Junior. And her name is Coco. And she is a purebred Shiba Inu, and she's mm-hmm. 2 years old. She's very vocal.
Yes, she is a vocal Shiba.
She knows exactly what she wants when she wants it, and has figured the way to annoy us into getting it.
You best provide.
And she's still very, because Shiba Inus are very cat-like. So we were pulling her hair out one day, because I think in the first week we had her, like, she wasn't used to having people around, and when she did have people around, it was usually late night, so during late night, she'd be awake. And we're like, no, it's sleep time. Everyone goes to sleep. See, Eshdog the second, she sleep. because it's sleep time. Mm-hmm. But she was all like, no, no, it's not sleep time. I'm like, no, no, it is sleep time. Like there was a lot of discussion with this dog. And a friend of mine, because I showed a picture of her, was like, oh, she reminds me of this. And there was this picture of this anime dog, a Shiba Inu. And somebody else was like, oh, well, she reminds me of the dog from Cowboy Bebop, which is kind of bizarre because that is a corgi and not a Shiba.
Yeah, that's a corgi.
But so I was like, well, what's this one from? And King Baby Duck, who was the one who flashed it to me, was like, oh, this is from that series, Lovely Muko, that's on Crunchyroll. So I'm like, I'm going to give this a watch. The anime is short form, so it's in a vignette style. I'd say okay. they're no longer than 5 or 6 minutes. So it's not even like, it's not like a 10-minute episode. And literally, it is the story of Muko, who is a Shiba Inu. She's a female. And it's her life with her master, Komatsu-san, who is also, he's a glass blower. That's what he does. He makes glasses, he makes, like, topiaries, he works in the medium of glass. And he lives in the same house that he works in, and Muko's generally outside most of the time while he's working. What happens mostly in each episode is something has caught Muko's interest. And she is she's very kid-like. Like, she talks in a lot of id format. Like, I want this. I love this. Mm-hmm. Immediate.
Kind of like Hamtaro?
Kind of. Here she, and sometimes she's really, really pensive, but, like, her energy is always super high. She's always happy, you know, unless she's not happy, which then she's like, I don't understand this feeling. My face gets scrubbed. Like, she's experiencing all this stuff, and she doesn't know how to internalize, so it's all external. And you see her looking at Komatsu-san, who, like I said, is this human, and she's in love with her master. And every once in a while in a random episode, she'll be like, I really can't wait for the day that you turn into a dog. So she doesn't understand that, you know, whatever form you're in, that's the form that you'll be. Mm-hmm. So, like, she'll have all these memories, she'll have these dreams while she's sleeping that Komatsu will turn into a dog. And then it's, like, literally another Shiba Inu with Komatsu's face on it. And they're like, and we could chase our tails together, and we could stretch the same towel. And, like, it's such honest, pure emotion. And, like, she's like, I'm just gonna wait, because one day you're gonna turn into a dog, and we're gonna live the best dog life ever. And clearly we know as the watcher that that's not gonna happen.
Right.
But she is so gung-ho, so, like, you secretly want that to happen so that she could be happy. And there are other people who play, who are in the series, but, I mean, so far the cast is really only 4 humans and Muko. Or rather, I should say, no, there's 5. So there's Komatsu, who is her owner. He has a friend, Ushio-san, who is, like, this big nerd, essentially. He does a lot of, like, computer and web stuff, and he helps Komatsu get, like, a website to get, like, his art shown. And then there's a girl, Shinoharu-san, that kind of has a crush on Komatsu, which our friend Muko is not a big fan of. Like, she gets really jealous when Shinoharu is around. And then there's a father and daughter who own a bar in the town, and the daughter likes to terrorize Muko a lot. And it's really, really such a cute way to present a protagonist that, one, cannot talk to humans. Like, it's not like a personified animal. Like, she barks, and we can see through subtext, like, from the text, what she says, but no one else understands what she says.
Gotcha.
So it's really just really, it's really funny to put it in a perspective of life. Well, here we are with these animals that we love and we share our lives with, and there's still this barrier of non-communication that we can never have. But there's, obviously, she's still trying to make attempts to be able to talk to Komatsu-san, and he's like, I think she's just really happy, and I think she just wants to go for a walk. And there's always that, never do their thoughts ever align. And I just thought to myself, because I'm like, here I am with this Shiba Inu who is very vocal and is trying to communicate with me in a very similar fashion that is being shown in this anime. And I was like, wow, what a way for me to discover that. Because, I mean, I've had dogs, we've had pets in this house this whole time, and I don't think I've ever thought about them outside of, oh, they're my pet, and I'm going to love them until they die. And then even when they do die, I'm still going to love them and cry about it. But this, like, brings it closer to home for me as a person, I think. So it's very cute. Like I said, very short format. The animation style is really interesting and refreshing. It actually looks like pretty much CG, like it's completely all computer. Like, mm-hmm. I can't imagine it being hand-drawn. If you don't fall in love with Muko, then there's something wrong with you. And I'm going to leave it at that.
Okay. I will have to check it out, and we'll have to see if there is something wrong with me or not wrong with me. But that is going to bring us pretty darn close to us calling it an episode. Boy, have we talked about a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
We talked about Deadpool.
Yep.
We talked about
Piva Pinata.
We talked about
Muko.
We talked about drinking. Drinking podcasts.
Yep.
We talked about a lot.
Yeah.
We covered many things.
Many bases.
I feel very, very much like this was a success. This was a triumph.
I'm making a note here.
Huge success. So with that, I'm going to remind you to check out our weekly podcasts on our website and many other places. But first and foremost, always hit us up at www.electricsisterhood.com. You can check out everything that the team is creating on our website. All kinds of great stuff there, including our podcast, which you can find links to subscribe in iTunes, either on your desktop or in the podcast application on your iOS device. You can also find us in Google Play. You can also find us on Stitcher Radio, just in case you don't have an iOS device. You can also find our show on the Vogue Network at voguenetwork.com. And pretty much any place on the net that is scouring podcasts will be listed there. So make sure that you check us out at wherever you choose to get your podcasts from, and subscribe to make sure that the moment we put out a brand new episode on the web for consumption, you can get it. Also, make sure that you're checking us out on all of our channels. We are active all over the place. You can get us on Facebook at facebook.com/landofesh. You can get us on Twitter at ESH News. You can get us on YouTube, because we are getting back to, well, one of the things that we kind of know, video, coming soon to a screen near you on our YouTube page. So make sure that you subscribe, that you like our content, that you comment on our content at youtube.com/electricsisterhood. You can also check us out on soon-to-be other channels, because we have an entire network of people making content that's awesome that you should check out. Like b3crew.com, our homeboy KBD holding it down, talking about music, indie, movies, anime, manga, games, you name it. If it's entertaining and nerdy, then KBD and the crew is talking about it over at b3crew.com. So make sure that you check that out. Also, if you're into great games and just really creative stuff, check out Smash Rook, our homeboy Hamsterman, putting down the stream every Wednesday, playing different games. Make sure that you check out our Facebook page and our website to find out what's being streamed when. But pretty much on Wednesdays, you definitely want to check out the Smash Rook stream on Twitch. And we also have Phil's Recap and Review, which is a great, great show that you should check out on YouTube. Hit up the website, issuesprogram.com. Learn more about it. Soon to be revamped, but oh my god, such entertaining recaps. Absolutely, absolutely love Phil's show, so make sure that you check it out. And, of course, I would be remiss if I didn't mention the Structure Network, the homies from another mommies of the internet, if you will.
Yeah.
More fam, even more geekery going on there. Stuff from Fat Guy Movie Critic, stuff from Proving Gamer, stuff from the entire Structure team. Unboxes, Marvel, Collector Core, Loot Crates. They're unboxing all kinds of great stuff so that you know what's coming, what's going, and what boxes are worth getting and which ones aren't. They're also doing game reviews, comic book stuff, WWE, like all the entertainment stuff that you could shake a stick at, you can find at the Structure Network. So make sure that you check it out. The grid is live, people. Be part of the community and the conversation. And rounding out our family of publications, new Nerd to the family, nerdcrave.com. Definitely check them out. Love that entire team over there.
Welcome aboard, you guys.
Louis Hendricks and the whole crew, really, really talking about some great stuff from a unique perspective. So make sure that you check them out. But it is, if you're really into comics, if you're really into games and anime, then you definitely, definitely want to check out Nerd Crave. If you're nerdy, you should be part of our network and part of our community. So holler at us, engage us, hit us up on our website. Let us know if you want a shout out on social, or if you got something that you want us to review or take a look at, or somebody that you think we should talk to and have on the show, then use the contact us form on our website and hit us up. We'll check it out. So with that, it's the time of the podcast where I turn to my sister and I say, hey, yo, sis.
Hey.
I would like to give you an award.
What's it for this week?
The award for most uses of the word like in a single podcast episode. Pantalicious.
Oh my god, like... I can't even, like... I don't even, like, know who I would, like, thank. I guess I have to, like... I have to, like, thank, like, the letter L. Because it's the beginning of the word like. I also have to, like... mention Mike and Ike's because that reminds me to say like because it rhymes. I also have to thank actually generally liking things because and enjoying things enough to be like I like them. And then also similes because you can use like or as but more like than as. Like it is just it, I can't
okay,
I can't
like express, I think it's time I like to wrap up this speech.
But anyway, I just like thank you. Thank everyone. Thank the word like. Thank like everyone. And thank the language for making the word.
All right. Well, with that, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm like Pandalicious.
Until next time, people.
Bye, everybody.